You should be too. Gay Conversation Radio, coming in June. Hi, I'm Peter Godbold, and welcome to Strictly Confidential. The show premieres June the 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. Palestine's President Mahmoud Abbas says his territory is dangerously close to civil war. His Fatah party is fighting off the Hamas opposition. Today, Abbas characterized the warfare between the two factions as worse than military clashes with the Israelis. In Iraq, the house-to-house search for two kidnapped U.S. soldiers continues, despite yesterday's al-Qaeda video claiming the men are dead. Three were originally captured. One soldier's body has been found. On the video, the men's IDs, credit cards, and other personal items were displayed. In Iraq today, a female suicide bomber blew herself up, injuring three policemen at a Baghdad checkpoint. Elsewhere in the country, five bullet-ridden bodies were found, and six policemen were killed in Ramadi by a car bomb. Americans are increasingly disillusioned with the Democrats elected in November, mainly because of Congress's inability to turn the tide in Iraq. That's according to the latest ABC Washington Post poll. Only 39% of those surveyed say they approve of the current Democrat-controlled Congress. In Pakistan, two militants have been arrested in the beheading death of American reporter Daniel Pearl. Another man, a British citizen, has already been sentenced to death for the murder of the Wall Street journalist. In Washington, Lewis Scooter Libby, former chief aide to Vice President Dick Cheney, will be sentenced today in federal court. Convicted of lying to federal investigators about his role in the outing of CIA agent Valerie Plame, Libby faces 3 years in prison. In Spain, the Basque separatist group ETA today called off its 15-month ceasefire, blaming the Spanish government for failing to make good on its promised commitments to the peace movement. ETA and the Spanish government have waged war against one another for the past four decades. Wyoming's Republican Senator Craig Thomas has died of leukemia. He was 74. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Hello, I'm CHP Officer Felix Isararas. Law enforcement officers throughout the state are committed to removing drunk drivers from California roadways before they kill or injure themselves, or worse, an innocent victim. Right now, local law enforcement and the CHP are conducting DUI checkpoints to find drunk drivers and keep California roads safe.
Always designate a sober driver. And if you see a drunk driver on the road, call 911. A message from the Office of Traffic Safety and California Highway Patrol.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give, give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Albertsons and Save-A-Lot supermarkets are recalling ground beef possibly contaminated with E. coli. 10 Western and Midwestern states are involved. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer has been hit with a $7 billion lawsuit by the government of Nigeria. The government says the drug company conducted experiments on children a decade ago that killed and disabled the youth. Krispy Kreme Donuts posted quarterly net losses of nearly $7.5 million on reduced revenues of $110.9 million. Yesterday, its stocks fell 6.7%. The federal government reports gambling on U.S. Indian casinos earned tribes $25 billion last year, an 11% increase from the year before. There are 387 Indian casinos in 27 states. Irish Airlines Ryanair recorded a jump in quarterly net income of 33%, nearly $542 million, that despite higher fuel prices. Sales rose 32%. Light sweet crude is trading at $65.81 a barrel. You can find more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
right.
11,
and most of
11,
and amps then go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Hey, hey! All right, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up here for a Tuesday morning. Sorry about missing y'all yesterday, but I had an early meeting my time this morning, because, well, it's nighttime where I am, or early morning, but... Anyway, I had a very early meeting, so I needed a little bit more than 3 hours sleep to be able to go in and be coherent, and so here I am. And how that was wild listening to that really, really old Cup of Joe show. I really think he needs to go back to that, or at least do a re-edit of that old intro. I love that old intro. That is just... That was the thing that actually got me to listen to him the first time past the first, you know, past the intro, was that Marge Simpson sample.
I want a cup. I want a C-U-P. Oh, my God.
They're just awesome. And it's just, it struck me as so New York. It just, it reminded me of WNEW radio edits and early Saturday Night Live. But anyway, happy World Environment Day 2007, everyone. This is kind of an important day, you know, and not that this should be the only day that you worry about the environment, but if you're listening to this program, you don't just do it annually. You're thinking about it all the time because you wouldn't be here otherwise. And the theme for this year's Environment Day is melting ice, a hot topic. And obviously, being the fact that, you know, one of the big signposts up ahead, we are entering the Twilight Zone, is the fact that the polar ice caps are just, you know, fading away faster and faster and faster. And there was a piece the other day, I think it's in Common Dreams, it was probably from The Independent, about the fact that the glacier movement in Greenland, and we've talked about this before, is accelerating. You know, only a few years ago it was moving at, 3 miles a year. It's now like up to something like 28. Okay. Like, I'm getting so sick of hearing people try to minimalize what's going on. And China's up to it now, too. This idea that, you know, we're going to try and make moves, but not at the detriment to our economy. Hello! How many times do I have to say this? No planet, no economy. No planet, no business. No planet, no commerce. Drives me absolutely insane. And like I said last week, what I could get out, I was it was a struggle last week. I was a very, very tired man. But we have George W. Bush pressuring the G8 to soften their language while at the same time making public statements to tell the G8 to get with the program. Excuse me? What bloody planet are you on? We also have here in Australia, Johnny Howard has gotten his big environmental research study in. And are they setting any early targets? No. The carbon trading scheme that they're going to have up by 2012, hello, talk about being slow, is completely toothless. $20 a ton? It's half of what it should be. But again, John Howard will not do anything that will actually make the coal companies here in Australia actually have to suffer a little bit. And this is the problem. No matter when we start getting serious about this issue, about really, really pulling back our consumption and really start to, you know, pull back on our carbon output, it's always going to cost at some point. But the longer we wait to start actually spending the money and chomping the bit that's going to... I mean, this is going to hurt. But the longer we wait, the worse it's going to hurt. And the more expensive it's going to be. I mean, it's only smart business at this point to wake the hell up. Bite the bullet now. Because it's going to cost less now than it will 10 years from now. And if we wait another 10 years, not only will the financial cost be horrific, but the human cost is going to be horrific. As if the human cost isn't bad enough now. I do invite you to go to the headonradionetwork.com site and click over to today's show blog. There's links for everything. There's links to the United Nations website for World Environment Day to explain where it comes from and the whole thing. You can do that on your own time, but because I think that that's just kind of like wasting time. We know why it's there, but they explain some of the things that are going to be happening today all over the planet. Da, 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 da. And how part of this is, you know, it's an effort to, you know, wake people up. In fact, there was a youth gathering somewhere here in the Asia Pacific where they had young environmental ambassadors from some 9 countries get together to discuss things, and so they could share information. And I was seeing an interview with one of the young people, like a 23-year-old Australian guy who went out there, and he said that they're, you know, different countries have some very, very exciting things that they're trying to do. You know, it's just. I like the idea of the World Environment Day. I really do. I think it's great. However, it's like, you know, we should be so way past this. We shouldn't need to be having Earth Day. And we shouldn't be needing to have World Environment Day. This should be part of every single decision we make. I just don't see how it's that hard. All right, we're coming up on our first break. I have many, many tings to get through today, and we have a really cool track of the day. I was looking through stuff and couldn't decide, and then kind of a little piece of my own musical history popped up. It's not me, it's not that, but you know, something that actually, you know, kind of like one of those little signposts in my life. And I'll tell you all about that in the next segment. But anyway, you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. And we'll be right back after this.
I come from the mountains that roll inland. I once was happy, but now I'm sad.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Now even the U.S. commanders are admitting the obvious: the war in Iraq is going badly, and the effort to control Baghdad isn't living up to its billing. Less than one-third of the city is under control, the commanders say, and the Iraqi army and police aren't performing well, and that's putting it mildly. A lot of times, the Iraqi forces are actually working for the other side. One American colonel was so tired of the IEDs that were taking down his soldiers that he set up a hidden camera, and it revealed that some Iraqi policemen were actually laying the bombs, this according to the New York Times. It's a commonplace of U.S. reporting to say that insurgents are dressed in police uniforms, as if to imply that they stole them and are wearing them as costumes. But as Patrick Coburn has written for the London Independent, they're not imposters. They actually are policemen, only they're killing the U.S. soldiers at night who are training them by day. It's just a matter of time now before there's a hideous explosion within the Green Zone. One of the insurgents the U.S. killed recently was a policeman with credentials to be there. There's no safe place for Americans anywhere in Iraq anymore. And meanwhile, over the weekend, 14 more U.S. soldiers died there. Enough already. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Hi, I'm Peter Godbold. It's true, I'm indeed hosting a new, live, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio show beginning June the 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Head On Radio Network. The show is called Strictly Confidential and will continue the proud Head On Radio Network tradition of live and unhurried conversations with the reality-based community. There will be interviews, music, news, callers, everything we've come to expect from the best progressive radio network on the planet. Some have asked, do I have to be a black, lesbian, Jewish, straight woman trapped in a Mormon's body to call your show? Oh, hell no. If there's one thing I've discovered in my association with Head On, it's that you do not have to be a gender outlaw to be absolutely fabulous.
Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. What did you think those saddles and boots
this was about. Today you blasted near my street, and my house cracked at my feet. I can't help it if my home is in your way. Politicians.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Stuff here on the Head On Radio Network. Nice bumper there, Bob. Sorry, my home is in your way, Mr. Pope. During that last break, we heard a promo for Mr. Godbold's show, which is coming up here in a couple of weeks, and I can't wait. It's going to be the first thing that's going to keep me from listening to Mike Malloy in a long, 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 long time. And I'm just really looking forward to that. I reckon it's going to be more fun. It's going to be awesome. Welcome to the club, Peter. I mean, you're always part of the club, but I mean, seriously, now welcome to the club. All right, on to some more serious stuff. Okay, it's World Environment Day, and this is just another sign, more reinforcement of why, or, you know, what's going on. So, over at Common Dreams, via The Independent, global warming is 3 times faster than worst predictions. Remember I keep talking about the feedback loops that are going on, where it keeps feeding itself and it accelerates? You know, it's just like a PA system and an open microphone, where the microphone starts hearing itself through the speaker system louder than its own, to oscillate under its own energy. Well, that's exactly what's happening with all the different systems that affect this planet, which have us in this situation of man-made global warming. Okay. Global warming is accelerating 3 times more quickly than feared. A series of startling authoritative studies. Emissions of carbon dioxide have been rising at thrice the rate in the 1990s. The Arctic cap is melting 3 times as fast, and the seas are rising twice as rapidly as has been predicted. News of the studies, which are bound to lead to calls for even tougher anti-pollution measures than have been yet contemplated, comes as the leaders of the world's most powerful nations prepare for the most crucial meeting yet on tackling climate change. The issue will be the top of the agenda of the G8 summit, which opens the German Baltic resort Hillingham on Wednesday, placing unprecedented pressure on President George Bush finally to agree to international measures. Tony Blair flies to Berlin today to prepare for the summit with its host, Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor. They will discuss how to tackle President Bush. Tackle him? Really? They're going to deck him? That would be cool. I'd love to... could you see Merkel just walk out to Bush going, "Hey, for that back rub, slam!" Oh, that would just be fun. Anyway, where was I? We'll discuss how to tackle President Bush. I just love that line. who last week called for action to deal with climate change instead of a way of delaying international agreements. See, this is, you know, he's talking out both sides of his face. Or is that both sides of his ass? I can't quite tell. Yesterday, there were violent clashes in the city harbor of Rostock between police and demonstrators during a largely peaceful march of tens of thousands of people protesting against the summit. The study, published by the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, shows that carbon dioxide emissions have been increasing by about 3% a year during this decade, compared with 1.1% a year in the 1990s. The significance is that this is much faster than even the highest scenario outlined in this year's massive reports by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and suggests that the problem suggests that their dire forecasts of devastating harvests, dwindling water supplies, melting ice, and loss of species are likely to be understating the threat facing the world. The study found that nearly three-quarters of the growth in emissions came from developing countries, with a particularly rapid rise in China. The country, however, will resist being blamed for the problem, pointing out that its people, on average, still contribute only about a sixth of the carbon dioxide emitted by each American. And the study shows developed countries with less than a sixth of the world's people still contribute more than two-thirds of total emissions of greenhouse gas. On the ground, a study by the University of California's National Snow and Ice Data Center shows the Arctic ice has declined by 7.8% a decade over the last 50 years, compared with average estimates by the IPCC computer models of 2.5%. Okay, you getting that? 7.8% as opposed to 2.5%. Three times faster. And then some. Comes out to me to be about 3.3 times. In yesterday's clashes, masked protesters hurled flagpoles, stones, and bottles and attacked with sticks, forcing police to retreat. The police said they were suffering massive assaults and that the situation was very chaotic. They put the size of the demonstration at 25,000. Organizers said it was 80,000. Okay, folks, again, another sign how screwed up this planet is. The people that aren't lazy, fat Americans are getting off their asses and protesting, and they're causing a ruckus because they understand how important it is, and they're not paid to lie to you, and they're getting sick and tired of their leaders not actually doing anything about the stuff that affects us, that affects every single one of us. And so again, I will say good on the protesters. Get out there and give them hell. Give them hell. Never looking for violence, but you know what? There is a time and a place when people get pushed way too far, and you have to expect this stuff. And I was just reading, I'm going to find this, I'll cover this tomorrow, but Gail found this great comic strip site that I had never seen before. It's an individual, artist. And there was a cartoon in there that said something to the effect of, you know, creating products that willfully destroy the planet and poison people with knowledge is not considered a crime. And then they show a protester throwing a brick through some large corporation's headquarters window, and that's a criminal act. What the hell is wrong with this planet? Okay, I'm going to calm down now. Today's track of the day. This is the track that first got me really listening to Cream. And, you know, I mean, I always kind of passively listened to them and, you know, I always loved Ginger Baker, one of my favorite drummers of all time. However, when I was in high school, I never had a cover band. I never did cover tunes. So I was always in an original band my band used to always get kind of, you know, I don't know, shunned in my high school because we weren't doing cover songs that people knew. We did original material. I'm off playing in pubs, and they're saying that I'm stupid. But anyway, but there was a battle of the bands thing my senior year of high school, and I got approached to play bass. Now I was like one of my high school's drummers, and so this was the first song that I had to learn. And from this moment on, I just fell in love with this track. And this is Badge from Cream. And Bob says, I love the story about how this tune got named. Now, during the break, I'm going to have to get this story out of him because I don't know this story. So you'll have to let me in on this, and then I'll let you all in on it. So without further ado, with one of the greatest, simplest bass lines that I still use when I still used in my Tekken career, when I had to go and sound check someone else's bass rig, it would always be play badge, and you'd always see the text look up and go, wow, he can play. Now, I don't play that much bass. However, this is a great bass line to learn. So without further ado, Cream from the album Goodbye, Badge. Roll it, Bob.
Thinking about the times you drove in my car. Thinking that I might have drove you too far. And I'm thinking about the love that you laid on my table.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Now even the U.S. commanders are admitting the obvious: the war in Iraq is going badly, and the effort to control Baghdad isn't living up to its billing. Less than one-third of the city is under control, the commanders say, and the Iraqi army and police aren't performing well. And that's putting it mildly. A lot of times, the Iraqi forces are actually working... I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Now even the U.S. commanders are admitting the obvious: the war in Iraq is going badly, and the effort to control Baghdad isn't living up to its billing. Less than one-third of the city is under control, the commanders say, and the Iraqi army and police aren't performing well. And that's putting it mildly. A lot of times, the Iraqi forces are actually working for the other side. One American colonel was so tired of the IEDs that were taking down his soldiers that he set up a hidden camera, and it revealed that some Iraqi policemen were actually laying the bombs. This according to the New York Times. It's a commonplace of U.S. reporting to say that insurgents are dressed in police uniforms, as if to imply that they stole them and are wearing them as costumes. But as Patrick Coburn has written for the London Independent, they're not imposters. They actually are policemen, only they're killing the U.S. soldiers at night who are training them by day. It's just a matter of time now before there's a hideous explosion within the Green Zone. One of the insurgents the U.S. killed recently was a policeman with credentials to be there. There's no safe place for Americans anywhere in Iraq anymore. And meanwhile, over the weekend, 14 more U.S. soldiers died there. Enough already. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breeds that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Oh, I almost didn't even want to come in over that. That's just, I don't know, I still remember that was the very first video on MTV. The moment it went on air, that was the very, very first video that they played. How right it was. Watching in the chat room over at headonradionetwork.com and people are listening to Cream going, ah, this is when music was music. How appropriate, Bob. You nailed it. You always nail it, though. Now, Bob was telling me the story about how Badge got named, and I did not know this, and I always wondered because I was in a band that made a point of never having the song title be pulled from the lyric, okay? So I never thought that this was strange. However, he says, when Clapton wrote an untitled song, and one of the band members walked over to Clapton where he was transcribing, he looked at the sheet of paper and saw that Clapton had written Bridge. And one of the band members, George Harrison, because he was around at the time, said in his thick English,
you're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
The city of Madison, Wisconsin is currently facing a building boom, with businesses expanding and condos rising all across the skyline. But even with plenty of contracts coming in, painters and drywallers are being asked to give major concessions during current contract negotiations. As a result, the workers, represented by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, Local 802, have walked off the job, essentially shutting down numerous major projects in the city.
Work has been strong in the Madison area, and our work hours are good. Members have been working a lot. And right from the get-go, these contractors that we are bargaining with wanted nothing but concessions from us.
District 7 IUPAT organizer Jeff Mehrhoff said that while major strides have been made since the strike began on Friday, there are still a number of major holdouts, and it appears they are trying to break the back of the union.
They wanted to take away break time. They wanted to have members buy their own tools. Our members get a travel pay. And this is the stuff that has been standard right from the get-go. They're trying to take it away from us. They wanted to take away union security rights. They wanted to limit the amount of time members would have to their union representatives.
Other building trades have respected the picket lines by refusing to cross. As a result of the successful pickets, Mehrhoff said some of the contractors have begun bringing in non-union replacement workers. The union and contractors enter federally mediated negotiations today.
New York City housing construction is suffering from a scandal that includes underpaid workers, unsafe working conditions, off-the-books payroll, and a general lack of regulation of unscrupulous non-union contractors. Doug Cunningham has more.
Without union protection, thousands of construction workers in New York City are underpaid and face unsafe working conditions on city housing projects. A New York Daily News investigation found non-union immigrant workers paid far less than the prevailing wage and many who went unpaid by shady non-union contractors. Lack of city regulation has allowed shoddy construction and millions of dollars in unpaid payroll taxes. And according to OSHA, 86% of construction worker deaths in the city are at non-union work sites. Kelvin Milligan is in the Carpenters Union now, but he's had ugly first-hand experience with city housing projects ran by non-union contractors.
I have been underpaid and not paid. I've done a total of 3 projects, non-union. The conditions, work environment, and pay status is deplorable.
Milligan wants Mayor Bloomberg to do the right thing and regulate these projects using skilled union labor.
Failed negotiations between workers and managers at Coors Lab Structures in Missouri have resulted in a strike. The workers, represented by Teamsters Local 41, were told that if they did not sign a contract on June 1st, they would be locked out. A complaint has been filed with the National Labor Relations Board.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hey, kids. There are some questions about what's this new gay conversation radio show coming in June on the Head On Radio Network. Well, the details are safely locked away in my closet, located on a dirt road in the rural South. So the next time you're traveling on an interstate highway, staring out into the red state abyss, just smile and think to yourself, honey, we're everywhere.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine.
Hi, I'm Peter Godbold, and welcome to Strictly Confidential. The show premieres June the 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network.
You can call me, baby. You can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Damn IP.
Pardon me. Sorry, that's just driving me crazy. It's like clockwork. It's like someone doesn't want me to be on air. Just kidding. I'm just like ready to explode. Anyway. Sorry about that. But I guess you all are getting used to it. I probably woke Gail up through 3 doors and the other side of the house. Sorry, babe. Anyway, did I get through the cream story, Bob? I'm not sure. no, I didn't. Oh, okay, the cream story. And anyway, so the band's working, you know, learning the song. There's this thing on the transcription sheet that Clapton's writing out, you know, that has the bridge marked out. And one of the band members, who also could possibly have been George Harrison, because he was around at the time, looked at the page and in the thick British accent said, "What's this badge? What's that mean?" And so from there on, the song was called Badge. Anyway, it's a great track, great guitars, great everything. And what I was about to...
Pardon me, John.
I also said before... Yes, sir.
Here, just for authenticity's sake. What's this? Badge. Nice.
Thank you
bridge.
Very much. See, I have an English partner, so I don't even try to do those things anymore because I just end up feeling foolish.
Well, see, I figured I'd save you the trouble.
Oh, thank you very much. But thank you for that bit of trivia because it's something I did not know. I never knew that. And what I was saying otherwise before, when I had already been cut off, and I don't know if you've seen it, the Cream reunion show at Royal Albert Hall. from in the like last 2 years is absolutely incredible. It is absolutely incredible. It's sonically amazing. And, you know, old Ginger Baker's getting on in years. And I will explain what bridge is. Bob, good point. But, you know, I almost feel sorry watching Ginger because he looks like he's struggling. But you realize that the guy is not young anymore. And one of the most technically fluent, most just absolutely flawless chops like running water drummers that has ever been. And he's just, you know, just fantastic. But to explain what bridge is, for those of you that aren't musicians, but even non-musicians, many understand this term. You know, you'll have your verse and your chorus, you know, your verse and your chorus situation. But then in the song format of A, B, C, as opposed, there's an A format, which it's basically one chord progression that goes, that just kind of repeats all the way through. Then there's an A, B, which is usually your verse, chorus, back and forth. Then there's an A, B, and C, which is usually the bridge. And that will be, it's a connecting section. It's exactly what it's trying to signify, which is you know, it connects one section from another, or it can connect a verse chorus segment into, say, a solo section, or back into an intro verse chorus section. I hope that made sense. But anyway, it's World Environment Day. So with that, from a new website that I found via StumbleUpon, which if you don't have StumbleUpon on your Firefox or Microsoft Windows browser, Internet Explorer, I suggest you go and sign up for a StumbleUpon account. It is the coolest thing since Google. It puts a little toolbar in and into your browser. And you go and select categories. You get your own little blog, and you select categories of things that you're interested in. You get a little profile. I think this particularly myself is so much cooler than MySpace. Now, you then are able to surf randomly by categories. Now, so there's a little stumble button, and you will then go to a random web page of something within the categories you've selected that other stumblers have posted. And if you're the first person to stumble something, you review it. And then there's a little thumbs up and thumbs down thing. So as you stumble through other people's pages, I'm telling you, this is like the, if you don't know what you want to surf for, you stumble. You know, if you don't know what it is that you want to Google search for, you stumble. It's great. I reckon it's one of the coolest tools. And last Thursday, the traffic to the Head On Radio Network went up 2,000% for 48 hours because of Stumble. And it was because of a story that I stumbled onto the Horn Stumble page, which you can find at thehorn.stumbleupon.com. And I posted one of the ninjas' stories, and it happened to get picked up by the category system, and suddenly thousands upon thousands of stumblers were coming by the Horn. And after it leveled off, I've seen like a good 20% kind of standing extra in traffic. So, you know, but StumbleUpon, it's great. It's and you can get the extension going to the Firefox site. I definitely suggest getting it. It is just one of the coolest things. And then if you want to specifically stumble a category, you can do that. But other than that, it just goes through all the stuff that you got. But anyway, I found this really great website, Sustainable Environment for Quality of Life, SEOL.org. And they have a list here, and I have it posted on my show post for today. 100 ways to save the environment, and I'm not going to read all 100. I wouldn't do that. You should go and do this yourself. And they have it in a few different categories in the list, and a couple of things in your home, conserving energy. Clean or replace your air filters and your air conditioning at least once a month. Have your central air if you have central air conditioning, do not close vents in unused rooms. That one confuses me, but anyway. Lowering your thermostat, wrap your water heater in an insulated blanket, so on and so forth. Reducing toxicity in your home. Eliminate mercury from your home by purchasing items without mercury and dispose of items containing mercury at an appropriate drop-off facility when necessary. Things like old thermometers. Learn about alternatives to household cleaning items that don't use hazardous chemicals. And I'm finding sugar soap to be one of the coolest things to utilize for cleaning. It's great stuff. It does a wonderful job. Things in your office. Copy and print on both sides of paper. Reuse items like envelopes. Use mailer sheets for inter-office mail instead of an envelope. Set up a bulletin board for memos instead of sending a copy to each employee. Use email instead of paper, blah, 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 blah. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff for using less water. Check and fix any water leaks, installing water-saving devices in your faucet and toilets. Don't wash dishes with the water running continuously. You know, all these really, really simple things. And it's the simple things that add up. And you know, so we gotta get on the ball, people. And I know a lot of you that listen to this program are already on the ball. And none of us are perfect. You know, we're all hypocrites no matter how hard we try. But the point is to make, you know, solid incremental gains in reducing consumption. And this will all add up. Because at some point, you know, if this thing continues to cycle out of control the way that it's looking, we don't have that much time. And all this arguing back and forth about, but it's going to damage the economy, and what about this job, and what about that job? It's not going to matter anymore. It's just not going to matter anymore. Because it's all good, that this entire society that we've got, which is unsustainable the way that it stands, is going to collapse. So if you want to have this, you got to start making the sacrifices 20 years ago. Things are going to change drastically. And we need to wake up to the fact. And on a positive thing, and I'm telling you, this, I swear to you, I really, this is one of the crucial bits of technology. Really needs to be, you know, grab it short and curlies and bring it into the fold. All of you have been all very, very excited about the air car technology. Ah, before I go into that, Bob is telling me he's clearing up that whole thing about the closing off vents in your central air and in unused rooms. It says thermostat sensors are frequently in hallways where doors to room to closed rooms are. If you close the vent and at some point open the door, you send a rush of warm air over the sensor, forcing the central system to work harder to balance the warm air. Thank you very much, Bob. I was wondering about that. I've never lived in a place that had central air conditioning, so it's not something that I've never really had to contemplate. But getting back to where I was going, going back to where I was before I went here, at one of our favorite blogs here at Foxed Up, Celsius.com, CELSIAS.com, they got more news on the air car, and it's tantalizingly close. They say here, back in February, Celsius featured the far too long-awaited MDI air car. It's a car that's been talked about, hypothesized over, and invested in so many years that a lot of onlookers have given up and gone home. I must confess to a reasonable degree that wishful thinking as we contemplated the possibilities of this car. But in regards to the certainty of its actually coming to market, it's been swayed by the technical obstacles as the next guy. Now, however, popular mechanics tells us our wait is almost over. India's largest automaker is set to start producing the world's first commercial air-powered vehicle. The air car, developed by ex-Formula One engineer Guy Negray for Luxembourg-based MDI, uses compressed air as opposed to the gas and oxygen explosions of internal combustion models to push its engine's pistons. Some 6,000 zero-emission air cars are scheduled to hit Indian streets in August of 2008. Barring any last-minute design changes on the way to production, the air car should be surprisingly practical. The $12,700 CityCat, one of a handful of planned air car models, can hit 68 miles per hour and has a range of 125 miles. It will take only a few minutes for the CityCat to refuel at a gas station equipped with custom air compressor units. MDI says it should cost around $2 to fill the car's carbon fiber tanks with 340 liters of air at 4,350 PSI. Drivers also would be able to plug into the electric grid and use the car's inbuilt compressor to refill the tanks in about 4 hours, which means you'd be able to recharge it while you're at work. Of course, the air car will likely never hit American shores, especially considering it's all-glue construction. But that doesn't matter. Doesn't mean the major automakers can write it off as a bizarre Indian experiment. MDI has signed deals to bring its design to 12 more countries, including Germany, Israel, and South Africa. Now, why is all glue construction going to keep it out of American markets? That part I don't get. And one of the reasons why they see this as an ideal market is simply because of the fact that the infrastructure in India is so like in an infancy stage that it would be difficult to put the infrastructure in now. You know, they're building infrastructure for gas as you know, people's personal incomes grow and they start buying cars. The infrastructure is growing, you know, with the needs of the country. So if they, you know, made this, you know, doable, if they made this happen, creating the infrastructure is not nearly as big a deal. And Bob's saying that they're not with what's on the road. Well, I take a little bit of, I mean, I understand that. Yeah, they're not going to be as crash worthy. However, they've been tested and they're pretty damn good. Second of all, part of the problem with current automotive design is the fact that only about 5% of the fuel you burn is actually going to move you. The rest of it is going to move a ton of steel and other crap along with you. So it's completely inefficient. I really reckon that this is so smart, this stuff. I reckon this is so brilliant. And the reason that it's done out of carbon fiber and things is to make it light, so it doesn't use much. And I'm sorry, you don't need 4 million horsepower to go get the groceries.
I got a 9-liter six gear fucking engine.
Yeah, right. And your penis doesn't work. That's why you have that vehicle. Anyway. Oh, I tell you, every time at the intersection out here waiting, I just think of that slip that Peter had on air once, where he talked about where he mixed up SUV and SOB. Yeah, it's another SUB in an SUV. Anyway, folks, we got to get out of here. Running out of time. Thank you to Bob for producing today. Thank you to our bloggers and our mods for everything they do. Thank you to the Carpenters for getting us rolling. Thank you to Scott Berry at B1 Ladder Productions for the music, and Ben Birch at White Rose Society. Most important, and as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and
politics. Died for. To watch my nation descend into the fascism that they fought and beat back and thought they had destroyed. Just let that rattle around in your noggin for a minute. They're going to change his discharge to other than honorable because he dared show up in a set of fatigues to stand and let those protesters know that they were not alone, that people in the military itself felt the same way that they do about this illegal, immoral, history-changing, democracy-killing war. God. So keep an eye out. The dateline on this Associated Press story was today, out of Kansas City, Missouri, and it says that his hearing will be Monday. Some of you guys that are better at timelining and keeping up with stuff, see if you can get tracks on this story and find out what happens Monday. I'm just astonished by this. He serves honorably, and he does not have the right to come back and say that war was wrong, and to do it in